My focus this morning, especially in light of the carol service later on, is going to be Philippians 1 verse 18, and you'll understand why as I go on. But let's read this again together before I pray over the scripture. Paul writes, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice." Let's pray together. Father, we live in a world of so much confusion. And we know, Lord, when it comes to religion, there are so many voices, so many ideas and opinions, and oh, Father, in this life of such brevity, we want to know the truth. There is no time to play with ideas or opinions. We pray that you will speak through your word very clearly this morning, for Christ's sake. Amen. Paul is saying here that although you get people who will preach the gospel with wrong motives, although you get preachers who are hypocrites and false people, even though, as long as the message of Christ goes out, as long as people hear the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, who cares where the message comes from? As he says here, what does it matter? The important thing is that whether it is from false motives or true, Christ is preached. Now there's a very important principle and a very timely principle implied in this one little verse. The principle is this, please hear it. The saving power of Christian faith is in its message. Saving grace comes through a message. What do we read in Romans 10? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, God is all powerful. God can use any means he chooses to get his message across. Surely you would agree. A great preacher like Billy Graham or Spurgeon can preach God's message and there can be great effect. But listen to me, God can just as easily speak the message through a donkey. And he has in the past. You see, the power of the Christian faith is in its message. I could put it this way. If I give you a beautiful diamond worth millions of pounds, imagine now, a beautiful big diamond, is it going to matter to you if I give you that diamond in a leather case or in a Smarties box? Or are you going to mind? Because you see, it's not about the container, it's about the content. And this is the principle we have to grasp in what Paul is saying here. Paul knew that in his day, there were people going around and they were preaching the gospel message for their own selfish gain, for their own ambitious pride. They were hypocrites. And Paul knew this. Paul knew that not every preacher is necessarily a very nice person. But he says here, so what? Leave God to judge the hypocrisy and the failings of the messengers. That's God's business. As long as Christ gets preached, Paul is happy here. It's the message that matters, he says, not the messenger. Now, do you all get the point of this verse? Don't misunderstand me. Of course God hates hypocrisy. Of course God wants his preachers to be sincere and true. And of course it's better to get the message of Christ from a good messenger than a bad messenger. Yes, obviously. But under the circumstances in this broken, fallen world, God can even use bad situations, weak methodologies, and even stupid people to get his profound message across. We need to understand this. And if you don't believe me, I'll give you a biblical example. Think of Balaam. In the Old Testament, Balaam was a pagan mystic who was paid money to curse the Israelites. But try as he might, the more he spoke, the more he found he was blessing Israel. God used a man who wanted to curse his people to bless his people. Because God can do that sort of thing. God is able to use a bad messenger to bring about his wonderful message. Thank God for that. Or where would we be? Come on, how many messengers have you ever met that are perfect? Well, maybe the one standing up here. Forget it. Not. Okay. But you get the point. God is able to take an amazing message and speak it through donkeys. We've got to understand this principle. And this is why Paul is able to say here what he does in our reading today. Listen again. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. You see, at the end of the day, all that matters is the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. And if it comes out the mouth of Spurgeon or Billy Graham or Charles Wesley or whoever you like, or if it comes out of the mouth of a donkey, that's immaterial as long as the message gets out. Now, most of you will know on Sunday nights, I've been doing a series where people have been putting questions in that box at the back, and I've been trying to answer people's difficult questions. But I've had a question given to me on a number of occasions that's something I'd like to speak about now, as soon as possible, at this time, for reasons that you'll understand. It's a question about Christmas. And the question I've been asked a number of times is this. Should Bible-believing Christians, evangelicals, should we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December? Is it the right thing to do? Now you may think, if you're not schooled in Christian things, you may think, well, that's a stupid question. 25th of December, Christmas Day, what's the problem? Why can't we celebrate Christmas on the 25th? Well, let me tell you the problem. One of our sister churches in our community, now these are people we love, honor, and respect, so we hold that respect. Please, I'm not judging. But one of our churches has decided this year not to celebrate Christmas at all. They are going to totally ignore the festive season. Why? Well, they've done so for the following reasons. The winter festivities, this time of year, are not originally Christian. In fact, the winter festivities are pagan, and they go back a long way and a long time before the gospel was even brought to Europe. How many of you knew that? The festive season is pagan. Okay, Yuletide? The 25th of December was a very special day for pagans. Why? Listen to this. It was the birthday of the pagan god Mithras. Yeah, the festive season was originally not of Christian origin, but pagan. So how come Christmas is now a special Christmas celebration? Why was pagan Yuletide transformed into Christ Mass, the celebration of Christ? Here's another one. Was the 25th of December actually Jesus' birth date? Was it? You know, they didn't have birthday records in those days. We don't know. We don't know when Jesus was actually born, what day. What we have here is a special pagan day that was adopted by the early church. You see, when Europe was evangelized and the whole of the European continent became, inverted commas, Christianized, they decided to use that holy day, Mithras's birthday, as the birthday of Christ, so that everyone could celebrate the true God on that special holy day. Does any of this shock you? Do any of you feel like now I've told you the Easter Bunny doesn't exist? You may be thinking, well, if this is true, isn't Christmas a pagan celebration? Is it even right to celebrate this certain day? In fact, if it's actually not Jesus' birthday, aren't we being dishonest by telling everybody it's the day he was born? Are we not being dishonest? Therefore, in the light of all this, I ask you again, is it right that we, evangelical Christians, Bible-first Christians, celebrate Christmas? In 1652, the British Parliament at Westminster actually banned Christmas. And it was banned, made illegal, for this very reason. It was decided, remember, Parliament was Christian in those days, and they decided Christmas is not biblical. And secondly, most people on Christmas just get wildly drunk and have crazy parties, and most people who celebrate the festive season just do it to party, and it's got nothing to do with God. So 350 years ago, it was deemed not only unbiblical, but illegal to celebrate Christmas. Did you know that? So you see the problem we've got here. Now let's face it, even this Christmas, most people are going to celebrate it not to the glory of God. There's going to be a lot of drunk people. There's going to be a lot of happy, overfed people. You know, we got Ho 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 and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Father Christmas. And most of this season's going to have nothing to do with Jesus Christ being born. It has it. And this is why, even in our own neighborhood this year, some Christians have decided not to celebrate the festive season. Number one, it has pagan origins. Number two, most people that celebrate this time of year aren't Christians anyway. And three, it's not even Jesus' real birthday. Okay. So now we come back to the question. Why are we going to celebrate Christmas here this year in Cold Harbor Church? We are, I hope you understand, a very reformed, very evangelical, and very Bible-based church. Why are we going to celebrate Christmas knowing what we know? Are we compromising with our convictions? Are we playing with pagan influences to our detriment, like some people would say? We have to face these questions, don't we? And a number of people have asked me to deal with this. That's why I'm talking about it today. Well, the answer I have for you this morning is a very biblical answer. In fact, I am convinced that if the Apostle Paul was alive and with us today, he would celebrate the Christmas festivities of the year. I'm convinced. How can I say that? Look again at our text. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Now think about this. Nobody knows the day when Jesus was actually born into this world. No one knows the actual birth date of Christ. We don't know Christ's birthday, but you know something? Hallelujah! We do know that he was born. And it's made all the difference to my life. God became a man. He entered history. The almighty divinity lay in a little manger as a helpless baby. And he did it so that he could live and die for people that he loved so much in this world. Is that not something wonderful to celebrate? We may not know when Jesus was born exactly, but we do know, those of us who are born again, that he was born. And we know that divinity was incarnated, and the world will never be the same again because of one particular moment in time when Christ was born. Now, when do you think would be the best time of year to shout that from the rooftops and let everybody know that Jesus was born and that God is incarnated and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day? When do you think we should shout that out the best and the loudest? What if I told you that God has arranged? Remember, God is sovereign. Everything that happens in life happens by God's ordination. Nothing happens by chance. God's worked things out this way. And he's arranged it, listen, that on a certain day every year, this is quite something, the whole world stops. And everybody gets all sentimental. And they all start, you know, giving each other presents and saying joy to the world and goodwill to men. And all of a sudden, people want to sing songs about a baby in a manger and about a star in the sky and wise men and shepherds and little children do plays about it in the school. Even government. Government churches, government schools. And people are sent cards and they receive cards and they write out cards with pictures of a baby in a manger on them and a star. And people at this time of year will come into church when they'll never come in otherwise. Think about this. God has arranged it so once a year you'll get people in church who would never otherwise come in. But do you know what? There are going to be people here, God willing, at 4 o'clock who haven't darkened the doorstep of this church since last year. But they'll be here because something, Christmas, has drawn them and they'll be under the word of God. And you know what? They give us license to tell them that God has become man. If that's not amazing providence, what is? You don't like Christmas, Scrooge? Christmas is God's opportunity to draw people in, to listen to the very hope of the Christian faith. Tell me, does it matter this morning? Does it matter that Jesus was not really born on the 25th of December? Is it a big deal? The big deal is that he was born, not when he was born. Is it a big deal that this season is actually a pagan celebration and the 25th was Mithras's birthday? Doesn't matter at all. Listen, what happens when you bring light into darkness? The darkness just disappears into nothing. Do you know Jesus has no competition? Don't be frightened of that word pagan. It dissolves in the presence of holy truth. So let's use this special time of year, a time of year I believe that God has providentially given to us, to joyfully proclaim the biblical truth that Jesus Christ was born into this world in a manger, lowly, despised. God Almighty was a helpless little baby. And he did that. He came into the world so he could live and die for us. We have, this afternoon, God willing, people coming in here that are only coming in because it's Christmas. Hey, Christmas can be used. The festive season can be used to proclaim the gospel at this time of year like never before. Bring people this afternoon to church. Bring them. It just may be that they'll hear something more than jingle bells this year. They might just hear the very voice of God. Let's pray. Dear Father God, you who rule all things, a hair does not fall from my head without your telling it. A sparrow cannot fall to the ground and die. God, even the unfortunate events that seem to take us by surprise are somehow under your decree. And we trust you. You brought Christmas into being, Lord, for a reason. And may we use the opportunity you give us this afternoon to the best of our ability to proclaim the birth of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.